Good morning. I would like to give you a centering meditation to think about while Marilyn is playing the prelude. So I saved it on my phone. I'm not checking texts or anything. So this is a reflection based on one of the verses from today's reading. So I'll read you that verse and then I'll read the reflection. That verse is from 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 6 through 12. Then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Holy One. A cloud filled the house of the Holy One so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Holy One filled the house of God. Then Solomon said, God, you have said you would dwell in thick darkness. Here's the reflection. Poetic reflection. It is not all brightness and light. The cloud of God is dark and we cannot see. God is all love and mostly mystery, without clarity, without certainty. We live with that. The darkness, children, is blessed. In that unknowing, in that unsayable truth, burns the heart of what is. We gaze into the dark glory, not to wish it bright, but to learn to trust the dark. So, welcome to Petaluma United. I had to think for a second, where am I? It's difficult when you have two churches. You know? Welcome to Petaluma United Methodist Church. I am the Reverend Rob Herman. So a couple of announcements. As you know, I was out of town last week. I am going on vacation this week from Wednesday to I come back late next Wednesday. So what I'm going to do is, because I won't be in the office this week, I will have office hours next Thursday, September 2nd, to make up for it. So if you need to see me, Olivet will make an appointment with you. Right, Olivet? Right on. Right on! That, I want that to be the new answer to anything. Right on, Pastor. Today... So St. John's, your sister church up in Rohnert Park, on alternating Sunday afternoons, evenings, they have a social time on the patio behind the church. And I want to extend an invitation to you to come and join us, if you like. You know, I'm not going to pressure you, but I'll know if you're not there. So. And I think there's going to be cake, so, you know. If that's any incentive to you, it would work for me. What time is it, Susan? 4, right? 4 o'clock at St. John's. So you are welcome. Then I offer you the peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. You'll notice there's an asterisk before it. That means you can stand if you're able. In the beauty of this place, we have come to pray, to worship, to receive healing and hope. We come from the struggles and triumphs of the week, needing to feel soothing presence of God. Lord, be with us this day. Calm and soothe our souls. Cause us to rejoice, and you have provided a special place where we may gather to talk of your presence and love, to sing your praises, and to be empowered to go forth and to serve you. Amen.
Well, it's been 7 days since we've been together. A lot has happened, I would imagine, in your lives. Times when you maybe weren't feeling so Christian-y and loving towards those around you. Tempted to do things that you shouldn't do every now and then. So I invite you now to let's join together in a prayer of confession. We'll do a communal prayer of confession, and then you'll have some space, some silent time to consider those things that you would like to bring before God and apologize? Confess. Yeah, it's called a confession, not an apology. To confess before God those things that you've done and repent.
This is the prayer of confession. Mighty One of Israel, we walk in the paths well trodden by generations of fellow believers. We love to claim you as our God and to be known as your people. We love to hear the great deeds of the saints who went before us. We love to count ourselves in their mighty company. Forgive our hesitancy to build our own monuments of your importance in our lives. Forgive our reluctance to put you in our armor of faith as we face the powers of sin and death in our own lives. Amen.
Friends in Christ, know this. The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. And I remind you of this surpassing grace. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. And the beloved community says, Amen. Amen.
Our scripture today is 1 Kings 8. This is a little different version. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and of the heads of tribes before King Solomon in Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place. in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place underneath the wings of the cherubim. And when the priest came out of the holy place, a cloud filled of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. The glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to the heavens. He said, Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping the covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. The covenant that you kept for your servant, my father David, as you declared to him, you promised with all your mouth and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, there shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel. If only your children look to their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant, my father, David. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Even the heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord, my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, and that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house and the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may heed the prayer of your servant prays towards this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people of Israel when they pray towards this place. Oh, hear in heaven, your dwelling place, heed and forgive. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people of Israel comes to the distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays towards this house, then hear the heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all of that foreigner calls to you, so that all the people of the earth may know your name and fear you, as you do people of Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built.
Last week, you might remember, we were in the desert with the Israelites. They had just escaped from enslavement in Egypt. They had been wandering around for a while. They were starting to get hungry and annoyed, and they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted the cucumbers back in Egypt, remember? And Moses was just about at his wit's end. He couldn't take it, the constant complaining. So he went to God. That's what we should do when we're feeling at our wit's end. He goes to God and pretty much says, God, just kill me now because I can't take it anymore. And God says, slow your roll, Moses, right? How about you get together 70 of the elders and gather them together and bring them to the tent of meeting, and I will disperse my spirit on all of you so that they can help you manage the rabble, right? So Moses does that. There are a lot of parallels between today's story and last week's mention of that episode. Do you see them? I specifically asked Nora to remember three things for me, three obvious parallels. But let's see if you see any of them. Anyone think of any? Adela.
The crowds going against the mandates for masks or vaccines.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Right. So today, you see parallels today to the story. I'm talking about, that's good. I appreciate it. But what I'm looking for is parallels between today's passage and that story from last week.
Oh.
Yeah. But thank you. That's good.
Yes, sir.
So
70 individuals. Last week, 70 of the elders were called into the tent of meeting. And this week, we see that Solomon, at the dedication of the temple, has called 70 elders, leaders, ancestral family leaders. Right, that's one, right? That was one of them. Mm-hmm. Another one? When the elders last week, tell us a second one.
Cloud.
A cloud. Last week, when these 70 elders gathered in the tent of meeting, when God dispersed God's spirit on all of them, God descended into the tent as a cloud. And we see that happening again today in the temple while Solomon is dedicating it. Right, that's two. Anybody recognize the third? Remember the third? Okay, Nora, you're on.
Glory and ecstasy.
Say again?
Ecstasy, glory.
Glory and ecstasy. Remember last week when the cloud descended on these elders, they all started to prophesy. Do you remember what prophesy was translated as according to one of my... Right. It's an ecstatic dancing, right? They couldn't withhold themselves. They feel God's presence, and they don't really know how to react. And the only thing they can think to do is to dance ecstatically. Do you see a parallel this week? They don't specifically say they prophesy. But the priests, whose job it was to carry in the Ark of the Covenant, remember the Ark of the Covenant, they carry that in, the cloud descends, and then this passage tells us, they were unable to carry out their priestly duties. It's not ecstatic dance, but they're confused. Something has happened. They've become addled for some reason, and they can't do what they're there to do. Three parallels. And we see these same kinds of parallels all the time. God's glory is often pictured as a cloud, right? When the Israelites were walking through the desert, God appears as a cloud, and that's what they follow. So here are these parallels. And I think what happens, I've been thinking about this all week, the parallels between these two stories, and while I was up in Lake Tahoe this week. So as you know, I was up at a training. It's called the Residence Practicing Ministry Academy. And it's for, all us, future elders, knock on wood, who are working towards ordination, and there are different trainings that we go through, two a year. So last week was up at Tahoe, and when we arrived there, have you ever driven up to Tahoe? That's a scary ride, man. When you're going up the mountain, and the roads are like this, and the railing on the side of the road is about this tall, and it's a cliff on the other end, it's not fun. Luckily, I wasn't driving. But anyway, so we're driving up, and it was scary, but it's clear and beautiful. The sky is blue, and we're looking forward to getting to the lake. I was so excited to get to the lake. And we get there, and we check in. There's a beautiful place, Zephyr Point. Yeah? So we get there. The water is blue. The sky is blue. But, we got there a little bit on the late side, so it's, starting to set. But I'm like, oh, it's beautiful here. I can't wait. It's going to be great. And then tomorrow is going to be another great day. And then the next morning, the sky was gray, completely gray, like we were in a cloud. I started to think. And that's how it was for the rest of the week, pretty much. And of course, it wasn't a cloud. It was smoke. One night, some of my colleagues and I went out into the town. Is the name of the town Tahoe? I don't even know what the name of the town is. But anyway, we go to the town. The ash was falling so heavily, it was like snow. It was in our hair, it was all over the cars. But I started to think, is God present in this smoke? Is something happening here? So that's what I've been reflecting on all week. And the theme of this week's training was self-care. On the surface, you think of self-care. I mean, it's, of course, a valid practice, right? You have to... Sandra is going to back me up on this, I'm sure. As a pastor, you are called to do a lot of things, and you cannot fill a cup from an empty vessel. You have to replenish and refill yourself through self-care, whether that be through, you know, quiet time out in nature, a monthly massage. Somebody shared at the training that they knew a pastor who had a standing monthly appointment to go and get a massage and referred to it as taking their vitamins. I'm sorry, I can't meet with you on Thursday because I'm taking my vitamins. Yeah. But it's important, you know, for pastor and for everyone, really, right? Because the world demands a lot of you. And you have to take that time, take care of yourself to make sure you're rested and ready to face what the world is constantly throwing at you. But another aspect of self-care is getting to know yourself, self-knowledge, and being able to face what the world is throwing you through the security and faith that you have in your ability to face it, right? You are a beloved child of God. And I think that's what happens in the temple and back in the tent. When God descends, those elders were empowered with the sense that God was with them and God loved them. God dispersed some of God's spirit into all of them so that they would know, that they would be empowered to go and be out in the world. That comes through self-knowledge. One of the ways that we learned about at this training was personality assessments. There's one called the Enneagram. Are you familiar with the Enneagram? Anyone? So the Enneagram is this ancient personality assessment. There are 9 personality types. And through various questions and reading like little summaries of what the types are, you feel drawn to one, and that's how you discover what your type is. So there are 9. I'm a 7. That's the best. Each of these personality types, what drives them is their... It's kind of complicated, right? So there are 9, and each chunk of 3 has a driving motivating kind of thing. So the 7, me, has a fear of pain or an anxiety about pain. And so their personality is focused on avoiding pain. And that's not just physical pain. It's pain, any kind of pain, like uncomfortable situations, that kind of stuff. So the 7, to respond to this need to not feel that pain, becomes the entertainer, right? The anything to get out of that painful situation. So if it gets a little uncomfortable now, I'm going to make a joke. If I'm not really liking this situation that I'm, or this practice that I'm in, I'm going to go and try something else, right? Move about and do different things. Never stay in one place too long before it gets too boring or painful. Susan, who will be preaching for you next week when I'm not here and leading worship, Susan is a 9, an Enneagram 9. That's the worst. The 9 is the peacemaker. So their driving reaction is to avoid conflict. The 9 does not want to be in any kind of conflict. So they're the peacemakers. They're very easygoing. They want to make sure that everybody's happy and fine, and there are no emotions flaring. It's important to know this about yourself, because when you go into these situations, you know, oh, I'm feeling a little anxious because Guyanne and Ron are arguing right now. I don't think you ever argue, right? But anyway, Ron and Guyanne are really going at it right now. And that's really making me anxious. And rather than be pulled in, I'm aware. Does that make sense? Right? As the 7, I'm over here and I'm talking to Charlotte and she's boring me. So the first thing I want to do is, you know, liven up the conversation. So of course, Sue and Pat, come over here. Listen to this conversation we're having, right? That's the kind of thing. And to be aware of that and be aware of what the people around you are doing, if you know what their personality types are. So you know when they're reacting in a way that doesn't make sense to you because you're not the same number as them, potentially, you know why they're doing it. And it helps with interactions with those around you. Self-knowledge is self-care. So you know these things and you can react and behave in a way that reflects this God-given spark, the divine spark within you, so that in this dark cloud that descends around us, we can be the light that Jesus taught us to be. Jesus' ministry on earth. Remember last week? I didn't ask you to remember this, so you probably don't remember, right? Love wastefully, live fully, be all that God created you to be. To be all that God created you to be, you have to know what you are. Living fully is taking that, because one of the things that God created you to be is full of the knowledge of God's love for you, and to take that love and live fully and share that love with those around you. I can love you very much from the comfort of my home, but it's not really loving you wastefully if I'm not bringing it out and sharing it. There's the combination of the contemplative and sitting and praying for you all day. That's good. But there's also action. That's James, the Epistle of James. I think that's next week or the week after. Lectionary text. But you're not preaching from James, right? No. Susan is going to talk about sin next week. Won't that be great? She's going to tell you what sinners you all are. No. So I just want to remind you again that Susan will be preaching for you next week. But also to remind you, this week, take time to refill your vessel. Whether that be sitting and enjoying the sunshine or reflecting on why you do the things you do. So do some reading and reflection. There are many, many good books on the Enneagram, if that sounds interesting to you. Another thing you might do is morning prayer. Susan shared this morning at St. John's that she prays in the morning. There are different ways to do that. You can sit and just pray, not just, I don't say just to minimize, but you know, to focus completely on praying your own. Or you can follow a liturgy for prayer. The dean of Canterbury Cathedral, the Anglican Cathedral, England, broadcasts morning prayer every day from the cathedral gardens. I was stuck on that for a while, but you know, as a seven, I lost interest after a while. But while I was into it, it was really good because he sits outside and he goes through the order of prayer from the Book of Common Prayer that the Anglican Church uses. But he's out in the garden, so there are chickens running by, or pigs. Sometimes he's out there feeding the pigs. There's a cat that went viral on YouTube because this cat will just jump up on the table. And so, of course, he has tea next to him, right, because he's British. And the cat comes up and starts drinking his milk while he's reading the prayers. You know, but it's really just very relaxing and comforting, and it helps you center yourself for the day. So I invite you this week to think about how you are replenishing yourself and reminding yourself that you are God's beloved, and how you can then take that love, that light, and spread it out into this dark and cloudy world. Amen. Good and gracious God, transcendent, immanent, dwelling in these spaces between us, thank you for the opportunity to come here to feel your presence, to talk about your presence, to share your love with those here who have also come to do the same thing. We derive strength from each other's presence, from reminding each other that you are a loving God who is in our lives, active and present. Help us to take that knowledge, that feeling of empowerment and encouragement out into the world and share it in the darkness that society seems to encourage. We pray for those who are ill, whether those illnesses be spiritual, psychological, or physical, for those who care about them, and for our poor, sick world as it suffers from natural disasters everywhere, hurricanes in New York, droughts here in California. We lift up this prayer and all prayers in the name of our brother Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
This is the time for us to give an offering, friends. Let us love not only in our words, but also in our deeds, through the tithes and offerings that we give today.
If you are listening to this service on a podcast and would like to contribute to the work of Petaluma United Methodist Church, you can make your tithe or offering through the website at petalumaumc.org or by sending a check to our street address at 410D, as in David Street, in Petaluma, California. Let's join together in this prayer of dedication. Living God, bless us with the guidance of the saints and the elders, that we might organize for your kingdom through tenderness and compassion. In our righteous anger, breathe with us so we can root into wisdom. Use our offerings so that through our daily actions of care, we create a world where all are sustained. Amen. Beloved, as you go out into the world this week, labor to bring forth new life. Dream dreams. Pursue visions. Speak of God's goodness in the words of those who would hear. And may the God who breathed life into creation be your delight. May Jesus Christ give hope to your dreaming. And may the Holy Spirit, your advocate and supporter, set your hearts ablaze with a passion for peace. Go and serve our God.